Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Canadian-born singer-songwriter Kelly Pettit, who now lives in Japan, has just released his sixth album entitled Every Sunrise. It was recorded in Nashville and produced by Australia's Greg Arnold. I've got a few of the songs from the album to share, and I've also got the singer of those songs right here on the show with me. My pleasure to welcome Kelly Pettit to the show. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Dave. Nice to talk to you again. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Nice to have you on the show again. I think it was several years. I think it was 2010 that we last talked to you.
Man, time flies. Yeah, it was. It was probably after my recording of my album called These Days, which I did down in Australia. And it's nice to be back on the show. I see I've been listening to a lot of your shows, and one of my favorites that I was listening to recently was the one you did with Jim Cuddy.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it was great to have Jim on. Just, it's interesting to hear his stories, too, and he, of course, told that great story about Massey Hall, the big place in Toronto that musicians love.
Well, I'm just surprised you didn't talk about him playing hockey with me. I can't believe that didn't make your show.
Well, now that I know that, I can ask him next time. Tell us his story.
Well, he used to show up once in a while in Vancouver to these Monday night hockey, musician hockey nights, and I used to beat him in the face-off all the time, so I have some bragging rights, but I guess at the end of the day, he's probably got a lot more bragging rights than I do, doesn't he?
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know that. That is a cool story
to hear.
He loves
his hockey, as you probably know, and he used to come out and enjoy those when he'd get himself down into the West Coast, so it was nice to – he wouldn't remember me at all, but, of course, we all know who he was, so –
That's amazing. Now, you are originally from B.C., and you're in Japan now. You've been in Japan a while.
I have. I've been in Japan over 10 years. I'm from an island, Vancouver Island, called a small town called Nanaimo, if anyone's ever heard of it.
Wow. I'm sure a lot of our listeners know that. I'm sure you miss a lot of stuff about your home in B.C.,
Dave, we can't even go down that road. It'd take another hour or two. Yeah. No, I really do miss it. And to be honest with you, my family and I are moving back to Vancouver in December. So my journey in Japan is coming to an end.
Wow. That's big news. That's a big decision, obviously, but that's exciting.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is a big decision. It's scary. You know, you get set in your ways, you get routine, you get a life. Japan's been really good to me as far as my music, all the different unique shows and gigs that I've been able to pull off here because, you know, I've got a good relationship with the Canadian Embassy. I've got a good relationship with a bunch of theme parks and, you know, you could call me a wedding singer at times if you want to, but as far as show times, I've never been short, so it's been blessing that way.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, that's great to know that is ahead for you, and you've had a great time and great memories there in Japan. And now you're on your sixth album, and this one is called Every Sunrise, and for this one, you went to Nashville. So tell us about that choice and decision to head to Music City to do the album.
Sure. Well, you know, as any songwriter like yourself, kind of a place you definitely want to check out at some point in your life. And I don't know why I never got down there sooner is one of the things I keep thinking about now. I probably because I didn't have any connections in Nashville. But Greg Arnold, the Australian who produced my last album, These Days, has a connection in Nashville, a gentleman called Brad Jones, who's got his own studio called Alex the Great, and he's also an amazing bass player. He's played on a lot of albums, Ron Sexsmith to be one of them, stuff like that. And he knows this gentleman well, and so they talked together about doing my next album. And when Brad Jones said he was in, that's when we started looking for dates when we could possibly pull it off. And I was so excited. I've never been to, have you been to Nashville before?
I have, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. Many times or just the once?
Just a couple of times, not as many as I'd like to, and I got a trip planned for the future, so looking forward
okay.
to that.
Speaking of which, I've been on your Reverb Nation page listening recently, listening to all your songs, Highway, Heading Out of Town, and Surrender.
Yeah.
Some great stuff out there, Dave. You're an excellent songwriter, my friend.
That. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And, of course, Highway Heading Out of Town is recorded by Western Avenue, a group from the Ontario area who are doing very well with their album and their career. And so, yeah, I've written some songs with them, which is great.
Yeah, no, you've got a very good talent. You're not just a radio voice, are you?
That's right.
Yeah, I was becoming a fan. So did you record those in Nashville or did it recorded in Canada?
Some of the demos were recorded in Nashville at various studios. And Highway Heading Out of Town and anything with Western Avenue and the group Domino, there's a song from them in there. That was all done in Canada.
Okay. That's very professionally done. It sounds great.
Yeah, there's definitely some great, of course, in Nashville, great studios. And here as well in Canada, different places, great recording studios. So, yeah, it's well, that's great that you said that because, of course, it's better for you to say that they're great songs than me to say it, right?
Yeah, seriously, you know, I didn't mean to say that either. So I was enjoying them a couple times over while I was in the room here. But yeah, I went to the studio in Nashville called Alex the Great, which one of the coolest things about that studio is it's attached to a house. And
okay.
So instead of living in a hotel and then going back and forth to the studio every day, you could actually retire there. And you're just surrounded by all these great instruments and pianos and double bass and everything. So and there's a ping pong table in there too. So my producer Greg Arnold and I used to have a couple good battles at night to release the stress from the day of the studio. So it's a really good place, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would think after you're recording, either at the end of the day or between intense points, you need a stress release.
Absolutely. But I didn't have a lot of free time, to be honest, because a couple of the songs on the album I hadn't finished lyrically. So I spent a lot of my nights writing and rewriting and getting frustrated. It's something I'm definitely going to try not to do again on the next album is just to bring in a really good, you know, have all the songs completely finished and then, you know, finish up with minor details on them when I'm there. But a couple of the songs that we decided to choose for this album, Greg really liked the melodies, but I hadn't finished them lyrically. So I spent a lot of the nights trying to rewrite the lyrics, and that was kind of stressful for me. But yeah, but the ping pong was a good release, that's for sure. Although I shouldn't say that because Greg beat me every single game we played. So I got to brush up on my ping pong skills.
That's right. Oh, that's too funny. Greg Arnold, of course, Australian, as you mentioned, and he was with the bands 13 and Midnight and Things of Stone and Wood. So not only a producer, but obviously a music guy himself.
Yeah, you know, he's a fantastic songwriter in my books. And I was a major fan of his when he was in a band called Things of Stone and Wood. And they did a, you know, international tour. And I knew he had stopped, the band had broken up. So I sent out an email, one of the beauties about the internet these days, and actually got in touch with him. This is going back about 4 years now. And he got back to me and said he'd be interested in producing my album, and that's when we first connected.
I think that's awesome that he that you connected with him for the album, and also that he came to Nashville. So you're doing it in Nashville. You're in Japan. He's coming from Australia. I mean, there's a lot of you know, different locations coming together for this.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, living in Japan, from Canada, he's from Australia, and we go to America. It's
That's
a
right.
big international project. Yeah, it's really strange how it all works out, isn't it? And but I really wanted to use him again because what I look for in a producer is not just someone who can you know, choose the instruments or whatever, but I like a songwriter. It's kind of like the living in Japan, I don't write with too many people, and I really want someone else's opinion on where the song should go. Maybe he'd change a major chord into a minor chord, or you know, give me some heads up on a couple of lyrics or redundancy, you know, all, how all that stuff works. And as they say, two heads are better than one. So I was really looking forward to another songwriter.
For sure, yeah. You get more insight and so much more when you got the co-writer, as you said, just to check on things you might have missed. Let's turn to a song now so we can give people a taste of it. And then we got a lot more to talk about when we come back, and more songs to share. The first one, Kelly, I want to share is called "Perfectly Beautiful." And what can you tell us about the song before we play it?
Well, that one's written about my daughter Victoria. She's 2.5 years old now, and it was just a happy, charming kind of melody, and she's a charming little girl, and so the lyrics just seem to go perfectly with it. And I just liked the little catchphrase, "perfectly beautiful, beautifully perfect," kind of the redundancy of that and how it works well together. And the lyrics weren't that hard to write because, you know, as you get older, time flies, and you just kind of think how sad it is going to be one day that she's going to be all grown up, and these precious moments that I have with her now will be gone. And that's kind of what the song is about.
Well, let's share it now. A lot of people, of course, are going to relate to this song who have children, and anybody else is going to just find it a beautiful song. It is called "Perfectly Beautiful" from my guest, Kelly Pettit, here on In the Country.
And if the clocks could almost stop on this moment that I got as you take my hand, you make everything so clear. You're the reason why I'm here. Life filled the sand, light up my day so bright, burn a hole in daylight. You, perfectly beautiful. Perfect beauty, you. See the world through your eyes, full of wonder and surprise. The old is new again. There ain't no formula, no sum, no recipe, a rule of thumb to explain how I feel. You're innocent. Your purity, a butterfly. You, perfectly beautiful. It's true, beautifully perfect in all that you do. Such perfect beauty, you.
And that is my guest, Kelly Pettit, on the line all the way from Japan. The song is "Perfectly Beautiful." His new CD is called "Every Sunrise," and you can check him out at his website, kellypettit.com. Man, that is such a great song, and I love the feel to that. It definitely has a Nashville fiddle kind of rootsy feel to it.
It does have a very Nashville feel to it, doesn't it? I mean, there's a double bass in there. There's, you know, the fiddle. We brought in a guy called Fats Kaplan, who's by far anything but fat. He's a really skinny guy. apparently he also does a lot of he travels with Robert Plant in his band and stuff. But he was a very multi-instrumentalist. He came in and he did steel pedal. He played a bunch of instruments on this for us, so it was good to have him in there.
Pretty amazing musicians in Nashville, aren't they? Whether they're the big name musicians that some of us have heard of or not, but they learn the song so quickly.
Oh my God! I mean, you know, you nailed it on the head. It's so true that they're a dozen down there, but they all seem to be a small family at the same time. You know, they all enjoy. Everyone seems to know each other. They brush shoulders. It's not a lot. It doesn't seem like it's really competitive, but they're all kind of big family down there. Is that the vibe that you got when you were down there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, supportive. Everybody's supportive of each other. The singers and the writers and the players too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the impression I got too. And it, one of the fun things for me was listen. Every lunch, about 3 o'clock, we go for lunch somewhere. Brad Jones, the other producer, would take us to some southern restaurant, and he'd introduce us to all these cool little spots that he liked. And always, we'd bump into someone that he knew, and there'd be stories that they. I just was enjoying being a fly on the wall and listening to all the stories that they would share. And some of them I can't mention on the radio, but there was a good laugh here and there. That's for sure.
That's awesome to have fun while you're making the music too, and make it an enjoyable experience. I was reading at your website. Songwriting, of course, is a big part of what you do. You write your songs, and you had well over 20 to choose from for this. But you wrote a blog or an article at some point, 7 steps to writing a song you're proud of. So do you enjoy passing that kind of information on, Kelly, to other writers out there, maybe especially beginning writers, things they can learn to write better songs?
Well, you did some homework, my friend. I forgot I wrote that blog, but good job on your part. Yeah, you know, for me, I mean, songwriting is a labor of love. I mean, I've written a lot of bad songs my whole life, you know, and hopefully it's true what they say, you know, like a guitar or like a piano, it's something that you can get better at for sure. Yeah. Now, some people are born with a gift of writing a great song at the age of 18, and I wasn't one of them, you know. Something that I'm still working on all the time. It's something I love to do, but there's definitely some things I feel that you can pass on, and obviously other people feel the same way. That's why there's so many books out there about it. But yeah, I just kind of shared a couple of my own experiences about what I thought it would take to, you know, try to write a good song. One of them, of course, is sharing your songs with people and getting their feedback on it. I think that's a big one as well, and not just family members, because they're always going to tell you you're good, right?
So. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what they always say. You got to take it to somebody outside of your family who's going to support you regardless and who's going to love that song. And I've gone to been in those situations, seminars where they've critiqued songs, whether it's my own or other people around me, and you've got to be able to take it a certain way because, you know, the people critiquing it, they're not just telling you the song's garbage, obviously. They're maybe saying, okay, the chorus could use this or the second line could use something. So it's constructive criticism.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm all for that. I mean, it's all about the song for me. And if I think the song can get better, then, and again, that's why I brought Greg Arnold in to help me produce this because, you know, I've heard him write hit songs and, I just want the song to be the best it can be. I don't have an ego about any of that, you know, maybe it hurts sometimes when someone says, I don't know where you're going with this song or it's not working for me, but that's why you just keep writing. And, I kind of look at like photography too. I enjoy taking pictures, and the beauty about digital cameras is you can go out in a day and take a million photos, and somewhere in there there's going to be a good one. I think songwriting is kind of like that too. You know, you got to write some bad ones in order to find the good one here and there too.
You know, that's a great comparison because you're right. I mean, how many times do we look at pictures we might have taken with our phone and, you know, our eyes are closed in one and in this one, that, and we find one good one out of that moment. Well, as you said, it's like a song. I mean, you could spend a week writing songs and you write, say, one, well, probably more than one, but let's say one great one. Nobody is concerned about the 3 bad ones you wrote, and it doesn't matter. It's just to get to that great one. or good.
Yeah, that's
good
exactly right. Yeah. You never know where that's going to come from either. And sometimes you know, you sit down to write and nothing comes out. And other days you pick up the guitar and you're in a good mood and something just magically happens. But yeah,
right.
it's a strange creature, really, songwriting. And but it's a lot of fun, especially when you write something that people enjoy. I mean, you hear musicians saying all the time they write for themselves. I guess it's partly true, but at the end of the day, you want people to like what you do as well, you know. And so it's really rewarding if someone sits back and says, I like that song of yours. I mean, that's kind of the biggest reward you can get out of it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, writing for yourself, I can see in the sense of you want to be proud of it, you want to believe in it, and you've got a gut feeling that you like it. But when somebody tells you, and in some cases, of course, some artists have a lot of people telling them, and songs climb the charts, that is, you know, it's great to know that somebody else connected with this thing that you wrote by yourself or with one other person, something personal maybe, or just something you believed in, and other people are embracing it. That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's one of the reasons you do it, you know. And at my age, too, I don't expect to be the next pop star out there, you know, touring the world and having girls chasing me down every day. I mean, those dreams are gone. So I did do it for myself at the end of the day. But, I mean,
right.
Of course, you want people to love what you do as well. So.
Now, what about venues that you perform at, Kelly, and the different shows? Can you describe those for us? For example, if you do any cover songs within your set, or is it all the catalog you've compiled so far?
No, Dave, actually, you're right. Most of my gigs, I do covers and throw in my songs with it. I mean, that's the bulk of my shows, unfortunately. About three or four times a year, I get together with a band and I just do my stuff, and I might throw in one or two popular songs as well. I'll rent out a community hall and sell tickets and have the locals all show up. And I got a pretty big support system over here, and you know that I do that. But a lot of my gigs, for example, there's a theme park that I play at, which is a great gig because it's a day gig. So I go and play in the afternoon to all the customers coming through. During that set, I'll do like popular songs, Beatles, Eagles, you know. Maybe before the set's finished, I'll say, here's a song that I wrote, and this song's available on my new CD, which is right here beside me. If you buy it now, I'll sign it for you or something like that. And then when the set's over, people line up, and I'm able to sell my CDs. And, you know, the gigs have been a really good source of my revenue. You know what it's like trying to sell a CD online these days. It's pretty hard. But fortunately, because I play live most weekends, I'm able to sell my CDs there.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it. People hear you, and you're right there, and you've got the CD, and they made that connection to you. So it's more of a personal sale, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically people want to take home something, you know, some sort of souvenir about you. They'll take a photo with you as well. And
nice.
So it's been a blessing to have to be steady with the gigs that way. The Canadian Embassy has been good with me, too. After the tsunami hit in 2011, we've been going up once or twice a year to some of the devastated areas and doing concerts and giving out food and blankets. The Canadian Embassy has been really supportive of some of those stricken areas, and it was nice that they let me join them on that venture as well. So that's been fun. I've been doing weddings here and there. Maybe once a month I'll do a wedding somewhere, which is, that whole movie, The Wedding Singer, has become a cult for me now because I can relate
to
some of the stuff that they go to.
You do a lot of 80s love ballads for those?
Say again, sorry?
Do a lot of 80s love ballads that we know at the weddings, like in the movie?
Yeah. Oh, man, you know what song they love over here? What's that song? Aerosmith. What's that song called again?
I don't want to miss a thing. Yeah.
that gets requested all the time.
That's,
you know, the Japanese
song.
Are funny because they don't understand lyrics, so sometimes they'll request something like Country Roads or... I've been actually requested yesterday by some Japanese to sing at a wedding. I have to tell them it's probably not the best lyrics for a wedding song, you know.
That's right. I'm not half the man I used to be.
Yeah,
doesn't fit for a wedding.
I've sang it at a wedding before, and I thought, if that's what they want, you know. But Yeah, it's cute. They're really cute because they don't understand the lyrics a lot of the times. And I've actually taken the fun out of that, which isn't probably the best thing to do. But when you sing Let It Be a million times, on stage, you end up changing the lyrics on purpose for your own self-indulgent.
Right. That's hilarious.
FET or something like that, get the band cracking up.
I love it. Yeah. Well, even people who understand the language well, in some cases, either mishear lyrics or maybe they use a song like I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston, Dolly Parton, at a wedding. Now, the chorus, of course, I Will Always Love You, is very positive, but the rest of it's about leaving somebody. It's not really wedding appropriate.
Yeah, I'm sure it happens all
but
the time.
Listens.
I mean, there's a website up there that shows all about the people mistaking lyrics. Excuse me while I kiss this guy and all that stuff, right?
That's right.
You can get a good laugh reading those. My dad's famous for that, actually.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
You can go on YouTube, of course, and that's one of the examples. Excuse me while I kiss this guy. Just what people hear, and it's pretty crazy. But let's turn to another one of your songs, Kelly. I want to share it from the album. The album is called Every Sunrise, available on iTunes and at kellypettit.com. And we're going to turn to It Can Be Yours. What can you tell us about that, Kelly?
Oh, great. Yeah, thanks. We'll see how people misinterpret this one. No, it's this is one of the songs that it barely made the album. And the reason I say that is because I forgot to introduce the song to Greg during the pre-production. We've been going through all these songs, and I just forgotten about it. And at the last minute, I went, oh, crap, I forgot about this one. How about this? And he liked it immediately. And, I mean, it's just a simple, simple song, but it's kind of got a catchy little hook. It Can Be Yours, it referring to a chance to, if I can spend time with you, all these things that I'm offering you, I'd like to share them with you, and it can be yours. So it's quite simple. The chords are quite simple, but it's kind of charming at the same time.
Let's hear it now. This is my guest, Kelly Pettit, and It Can Be Yours here on In the Country.
Watch the sunset on an empty beach. It can be yours. It can be yours. Lying on our backs, watching shooting stars. It can be yours, it can be yours. I could write you a love song from the heart. It can be yours, it can be yours. Pull you out of the rain and into the sun. It can be yours, it can be yours. We'll be right back.
And that is my guest, Kelly Pettit. It's from his brand new CD entitled Every Sunrise, and that song is called It Can Be Yours. And again, a great sound to that. I really like the style and the sound of both those songs so far.
Well, thanks a million, Dave. It's a nice compliment coming from you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and I know that our listeners are enjoying it. We have another song from the album coming up as well. It's really exciting. Have you ever given thought through your six albums or a future one to a duet? Is there any female artist out there, whether it's a name we'd know or not, that you would love to sing with?
Wow, that's a you know what, I've done one song that's a duet way back on my first album, but I would love to do a duet again. I've actually written a few songs with that idea in mind, but
oh, wow.
As far as the right artist, I haven't really thought about who I'd like to choose for that. Taylor Swift, maybe? How's that one?
There you
that
go.
Way
that's
the song
a good
would
choice.
Go international immediately.
That's right.
I'd be famous. Yeah.
Good choice.
Actually,
yeah,
I did a tour down in Nashville. We drove past one of the places that she lives, apparently, but I didn't see her in there, so I wasn't able to throw her any of my songs her way, unfortunately. But, yeah, if you know anybody, have you ever written a song for I know you've written some songs for that females sing, but have you co-written anything that's got male and female vocals in it? Actually, I shouldn't say that. Your Highway song has got that in it.
Yeah, exactly. With Western Avenue, they do a male and female interchanging verses. So that's kind of like a duet. Some of the songs I've written not be demoed as duets, but suit duets.
One of my problems about living in Japan, actually, Dave, is the fact that I haven't really mingled with a lot of musicians out this way, especially where I live now. I don't live in Tokyo anymore, so I'm kind of about an hour from Tokyo, and most of my musician friends are Japanese. And they're great musicians, but when it comes to singing English, their skills aren't all that good. So I haven't really thought of things like that, but perhaps when I move back to Canada, I'll be back together with a swing of English-speaking musicians, and that's something that I can think of then. But would be a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, I love duets. I love the male female dynamic. The voice, the way those voices, the two right voices, can blend together and create magic. I mean, there's been so many great duets in country music alone, of course, in pop and all genres. It's just a great way to hear a song.
Absolutely, that's true. I also love a lot of my albums have a female vocal over top for the third harmony or the fifth harmony or whatever, too. And I find the female vocal adds something special to the song. We didn't get that this time around. We called a woman to come in one day, but she wasn't unavailable. And when you're under the gun, which you are a lot of the time, time is money when you're in a studio. We didn't have the opportunity. We had to actually have some of the harmonies sung later after we left the studio. So it didn't work out.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I had five days booked in the studio, and we got as much done as we could, but we walked away with the songs not 100% finished. And then I actually sang one of the tracks back here in Japan and sent the files back over. A couple of other songs, we did the harmonies later. We added a couple other instruments later, but 90% of it was done there. Unfortunately, we ran out of time and weren't able to complete it while I was there.
Well, it's great Yeah. It's great that we do have that technology these days where you can go back to Japan and do the vocals and send files, and things can be done if they need to remotely that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know. One of the things I was worried about regarding singing over here is, different mic, different environment. I thought maybe people would pick up on that vibe with this particular song, but it doesn't seem to be the case. He added the same up to it, and everything went from his home studio, so it all worked out.
Very cool. Let's talk about a few of your influences, Kelly.
Sure.
Maybe talk about a couple of them that have been strong influences in your music career.
Well, when I grew up, I basically listened to AM radio, pop, whatever was playing at the time. I became a big Bryan Adams fan. His Reckless album was one of the reasons I picked up the guitar.
Nice.
I fell in love with, in my teens, I fell in love with quirky bands like the Proclaimers. There was a couple Scottish bands. What were they called? It's not coming to me now. It's funny because I'm a big fan of it. And Things Are Stone and Wood in the 90s, that Greg Arnold band. One of the things I loved about them is I was more of a rock and roll guy, and then they started introducing all these other instruments into their pop music, like fiddle and mandolin and all these instruments that I hadn't really discovered because most of the stuff I was listening to at the time was kind of straight on guitars. And I just started to really get into that sort of stuff. The Water Boys, which is a Celtic band from Ireland, if you haven't heard of them. And I started to really love bands that had all these different instruments, and realized at that time that you could write a pop song, not just with guitars. And of course, then I started to switch over to country, and I really started to love the lyrics and get behind the lyrics in country. And, you know, that's probably mostly what I listen to these days is, you know, mainstream country. You know, Brad Paisley and
he's great.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I love what he's done. His song "Welcome to the Future" I never get tired of that.
I know, it's just such a classic.
It's
deep, musically interesting. I mean, it's just you know, it's an epic song. And "American Saturday Night's" another great one of his.
Yes, I know. You know what bugs me the most about some of these country songs? Well, it bugs me because I get jealous. I figured the song out on guitar, and I go, this is a four-chord song. How did he write such a good song on four chords? It's like, well, no, don't tell me this is G, C, and D. Come on. It sounds bigger than that. And it's amazing that he writes this stuff, and you go, no, it's just four chords. How come I can't do that, you know?
That's right. It's the whole thing when you say, I wish I'd written that song, because it seems like something you could have found, but as all these writers say, but it just didn't hit them.
Yeah, exactly. It's
you know?
And it's just so powerful. Of course, he's just a killer on the guitar. It's just something. Oh my God!
Oh, yeah.
So,
I saw him in concert last summer, and he was amazing in concert. Not only his guitar, but his showmanship. I mean, the concert was amazing.
Yeah, I would love to see him in concert. There's a YouTube video of his I keep going back to. It's one where he's singing "Welcome to the Future" in front of the President Obama. He does a little story, a little prelude to the song and what it's all about, and then he sings it with his band live, and it's just killer. If you haven't seen it, check it out later. It's worth it.
I'll have to do that for sure. Let's turn to another one of your songs here on the show.
Okay.
It's Kelly Pettit, my guest on the line from Japan, Canadian born, and the album is called Every Sunrise. We're going to hear a song called Gonna Have Days. And what can you tell us about this one, Kelly?
Well, have you ever tried to write an anthem song before, Dave?
A couple of times, I think, something that people can get behind. And there's one I wrote recently called This Love, which is, it's an anthem, I guess, a love anthem, you know, up-tempo and all that. So I know what you mean.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to write one for years, and I haven't yet. This song this song has morphed for the better, I think. But initially it was something I was trying to write that would become an anthem for some sort of an anthem. And I just couldn't put pen to paper. I couldn't get anything out. And finally, I just let the song do what it was supposed to do, and the lyrics came out in a few hours, the bulk of them anyway. And then, of course, I tweaked it after that. But I like how this song works now, and I'm really fortunate that it's morphed into what it is. It's kind of a charming song about, you know, you just wake up on the wrong side of bed and things aren't going to be – you just got a feeling things aren't going the way they should, you know. And you haven't even gone to work yet, and all these things are unfolding. And you're going to have days like that from time to time, and that's what the song's called. You're going to have days.
Let's share it now. This is Kelly Pettit, Going to Have Days on In the Country.
Got up on the wrong side, slipped and hit my head. To top it off, stub my toe on the bed. Dang, I'm running late. Coffee's gotten cold. Mutt's waiting for his walk, and today I'm feeling old. You're gonna have days, and things are never easy. We'd rather be alone. You're gonna have days, things will get messy. Strong backbone. Wife is yelling at me, don't plan. Can't stop me in the kitchen, I only got two hands. The bathroom sink needs fixing, everyone tells me so. Just another headache at this dog and pony show. You're gonna have days, and things are getting messy, where you'd rather be alone. You're gonna have days, never ever easy, you need a strong backbone.
Need a reset, take a deep breath,
chalk it up and laugh.
And that is a great song from my guest, Kelly Pettit, from his album Every Sunrise, which is available at iTunes and at kellypettit.com. The song is called Gonna Have Days. Man, I love that one, too. I love the style of that and the sort of echo in the chorus with the other singers.
Yeah, you know what? That was something I had to add later. I kept hearing it, and it wasn't in the song, and I had to email back to Brad Jones, and I even sent him a file of what I kind of wanted, and he went and redid the vocals for that later because no one else was hearing it, but it was something I kept singing when I was listening to the, you know, before we finally got them pressed. So fortunately, we got those in because I love that extra, you know, the call in the vocals at the end.
The funny thing
about this song is I wrote it, and it's in C-sharp minor, and it's got double bass in it and a fiddle in it. And both of them were like, you got to be kidding me. You're playing this in C-sharp minor? No. Because for those that aren't musicians, basically on a double bass, there's no open string. You gotta put your fingers on the big, heavy strings for the whole song. And I think he did two takes, but on the second take, you can hear him at the end go, whew. That was legit because his fingers were getting all tied up in knots from playing that song. The fiddle player, too, was having a hard time for a while trying to play his parts because it was in C-sharp minor. So I got a little bit of flack for that.
Wow. Kelly, it has been such a pleasure. The time has flown by. We got to hear three tracks and share some great stories. Thanks so much for being on the show, Kelly.
Dave, thanks a million for having me again. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and taking the time to talk to me. Thank you.
It has been great. Great to chat again and again to share these songs. I know our listeners enjoyed it, and I'm sure many of them will head to iTunes to have these songs for themselves. I'm Dave Woods. My guest has been singer-songwriter Kelly Pettit. For more country music interviews, be sure to head to inthecountryinterviews.com.
Thank you, Dave.